saving money in your next project when you shop at Menards. We have everything you need for keeping your outdoor power equipment in tip-top shape. Ensure your lawnmower or boat is running smooth this year. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale. View our entire selection of FVP batteries today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of the great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Hey, friends, it's me again. You know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. If you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in and give me a thumb. Say hi while you're at it. Helps me a ton with that damn algorithm. And besides, it's always nice to see you there. All right, then. Let's hop on that crazy train.
All aboard!
Oh, shit. Hey, welcome back, my friend. Happy October 10th, or as most people know it, National Handbag Day. I don't know why women love them so much, but they'll pay an arm and a leg for one if it's fancy enough. That's right. And that's why I've decided to make a bunch of alligator handbags, because times are tough, and we all know the ladies love Chester. I'm just kidding, boy. A little spooky season humor, that's all. Hey, speaking of spooky, the Drew Bloods Dark Tales Spooky Season 2025 Rotten Contest is in full effect, y'all. Submissions are closed, but be sure to pop into creepypastastories.com, find the link for the contest, and vote on your favorite story to be featured on the 26th. But for now, come on inside, y'all. Let's get this show on the road. Alright, that's better. Hey, before we get started, remember, becoming a patron really helps out. Just visit simplyscarypodcast.com, hit the Patrons area button, and it'll take you through the rest. You get their entire catalog ad-free, and it keeps me from killing Chester. For now. Alright, y'all, smoke 'em if you got 'em, and drink those glasses to the bottom, because old Drew Blood has a tale to tell. And tonight we welcome author K.G. Lewis. This one comes from his collection, Flotsam and Jetsam, available from Velox Books. In it, we join a young man about to undergo a major rite of passage. So without further delay, from author K.G. Lewis, I give you Highway to Hell. What are you doing here, Josh? My father asked after finding me in the garage behind the house.
I was just looking at the car.
I pointed at his 1973 Red Pepper Ford Falcon, the car my mother claimed he loved more than her. The Falcon was in pristine condition and looked like it had just rolled off the assembly line. Its red paint and chrome fixtures always looked freshly polished. The car was originally owned by my grandfather, but he gave the car to my father for his 18th birthday. My 18th birthday was the next day, and I was hoping my father would continue the tradition and hand the car off to me. I never mentioned that to him, though. I was afraid he'd laugh at the idea, crushing my dreams of one day sliding behind the wheel and hearing the engine roar as I pressed down on the gas pedal. I'd rather hold on to the fantasy that it would one day be mine for as long as I could.
She's a beauty, isn't she?
My father said, lightly running his hand along the edge of the roof.
She really is,
I agreed. The two of us admired the car in silence for a moment before I remembered what day it was.
Are you taking her out?
I would be surprised if he didn't. He took the car out like clockwork every 3 months and never missed a trip. I once asked my mother where he went when he left because he was usually gone all weekend. But she just shrugged her shoulders. My father walked around the car to come and stand beside me. He placed his arm around my shoulder and held out the keys to the car with his free hand.
We're taking her out.
Are you serious?
I asked, reaching out to take the keys from him. I felt like I was in a dream and would wake up disappointed at any moment.
Absolutely, he replied, releasing his hold on me and walking over to the passenger side of the car.
Right now?
Do you have something more important to do? He opened the car door and got in.
No?
I shook my head, opening the door and easing myself down into the driver's seat.
Should I text Mom and tell her I'm going with you?
I slid my phone out of the back pocket of my jeans. I already told her we were going for a ride. Plus, that won't work in here.
He pointed at my phone.
I looked down at the phone and used my thumb to press the button on the side of it, trying to wake it up, but nothing happened. That's weird, I thought. The battery shouldn't be dead. It was over 90% full when I walked into the garage. Put it away, my father said, a slight smile tugging at the corner of his lips. You won't be needing it. I turned to face him, expecting him to give me an explanation for why the phone wasn't working. But he ignored me and instead said, Start her up, nodding towards the steering column as he talked. I put the phone back into my pocket and then slid the key into the ignition. The engine roared to life when I turned the key. My father reached up and tapped the button on the garage door opener that was clipped to the visor above my head.
Where are we going?
I asked, wrapping my fingers around the leather steering wheel cover. That's a good question, my father replied. He leaned forward, opened the glove compartment, and pulled out what appeared to be a brand new map. Looks like we're going to Tennessee. He turned the map towards me so I could see it for myself.
Tennessee?
I was surprised by his response. The Tennessee state line was at least a 4-hour drive. I thought we'd be staying in town.
Why Tennessee?
Because that's where the map says.
Where in Tennessee?
I wasn't going to argue with him. If he said we were going to Tennessee, then that's where we were going. I didn't want to change his mind about letting me drive. My father unfolded the map and studied it for a moment. Duncan Hollow. He placed his finger on a part of the map that looked like it had been circled with a red ink pen.
Duncan Hollow, here we come,
I declared, putting the car in reverse and easing it out of the garage. Ten minutes later, we were on the interstate heading to Tennessee. I was surprised at how calm my dad was about letting me drive his car. I figured he'd be a nervous wreck, constantly making comments about how careful I needed to be. But he never said a word. He just sat there staring out the window, seeming to enjoy the ride.
Do you mind if I put on some music?
I asked, reaching for the knob of the radio. Go right ahead. I turned the knob until it clicked. The speaker started blaring out a heavy metal guitar riff.
Sorry,
I quickly apologized, reaching out for the tuning dial.
I'll see if there's anything else on.
Even though I liked what I was hearing, I didn't think my dad wanted to listen to that kind of music. Don't bother, he said. That radio won't play anything else. I ignored him and began turning the dial, looking for something else to listen to. But the music never changed. No matter how far to the left or right I moved the tuner, the music remained the same.
Is it broken?
I asked. Nope. He shook his head. She just has a very specific taste in music. He patted the dashboard as he spoke. The engine suddenly revved loudly as the car lurched forward, but I hadn't pressed my foot down on the gas. My dad made an amused sound in his throat when he saw me looking down at my feet, trying to see if I had accidentally done something wrong to cause the car to react that way.
What's so funny?
I cast a quick look in his direction, not wanting to take my eyes off the road. You've got a lot to learn about this car, was his cryptic reply.
It wasn't funny,
I snapped at him.
I could have lost control.
The smirk that appeared on my father's face annoyed me. I was trying to be serious while he was acting like it was all a joke. You were never in danger of losing control, he said.
I wouldn't be so sure of that.
I tightened my trembling fingers on the steering wheel. When the car lurched forward, there was a moment of panic where I almost jerked the wheel to the side, thinking we were about to drive off the road. I'm serious. Watch this. Before I could react, my father reached over and grabbed the steering wheel, yanking it as hard as he could in his direction. I freaked out and raised my arms in front of my face, thinking we were about to crash. But the car only swerved slightly in the direction he pulled the wheel before returning to its original position in the lane. I was jostled a little. That was all that happened.
You asshole!
I yelled at him, lightly punching him on the shoulder before returning my hand to the steering wheel. My heart was beating so hard that I could feel the beats in my fingertips.
Are you trying to kill us?
She's a smart car, he said with a smile, amused at my overreaction. If she thinks you're about to lose control, she'll take over and keep you on the road.
It has an ADS?
That was the acronym for the Automated Driving Systems. ADS technology was still being developed at the time, and it certainly wasn't as sophisticated as I'd just seen. I figured it was just his way of telling me to drop it, so I did. I considered asking him if he had added any other upgrades to the car, but I decided against it. He seemed to enjoy my surprise at discovering what the car could do, and wasn't likely to reveal anything else until he felt it appropriate. Sensing my thoughts, my dad turned to me and said, "Let's just enjoy the ride." So that's what I did. I leaned back in the seat, turned up the music, and drove toward our destination.
"We're in Tennessee,"
I declared a couple hours later, pointing at the large blue sign that welcomed us as we crossed the state line. My dad, who had fallen asleep, cracked his eyes open and looked around.
"That was fast," he yawned.
"Are you going to tell me where we're going so that I know which exit to take?"
I turned and looked at him briefly. "The car knows." As if on cue, the right turn blinker came on. I looked down at the dashboard, wondering why it had come on and knowing that I hadn't touched it.
"Take this next exit," my dad pointed.
I quickly changed lanes and took the indicated exit, curving back around toward the overpass we had just driven under.
"Which way now?"
I asked as I approached the light. Before my dad could respond, the left turn blinker came on.
"Left it is," I declared.
Once we were heading in the right direction, I asked,
"How is the car doing this? Is it part of the ADS or is it some kind of GPS?
I assumed it was the latter and that my dad had already programmed our destination into it. My dad took a deep breath and let it out with a sigh.
"It's neither," he said. "It's the car."
I was about to call him out for being vague and not wanting to tell me anything about the car and the modifications he had made to it, but he stopped me with a raised hand.
"It really is the car," he insisted. "And before I hand her over to you, there are some things you need to know about her."
"You're giving me the car?"
I gasped. Even though I was hoping he'd give me the car for my 18th birthday, I was still surprised to hear him say that. A part of me thought he'd never part with the car. "That's the plan. But it all depends on how this trip goes."
"Where are we going?"
I assumed he had had this entire trip planned out before I even walked into the garage this morning.
"To see your grandfather," my dad replied.
"Grandpa Ben? I thought he lived in Texas."
Grandpa Ben was my grandfather on my mother's side.
"Grandpa Max," my dad corrected.
"Grandpa Max?"
I was shocked to hear that name.
"I thought you said he was dead."
I hadn't seen Grandpa Max since I was 5 or 6 years old and didn't remember much about him. All I remember is that he stopped coming around one day, and when I asked where he was, my parents told me he was dead. I wasn't very attached to the old man at the time, but I was still sad to hear that he was gone.
"He up and left us without a word," my dad explained. "For all intents and purposes, he was dead to us."
"Why'd he leave?"
My dad gave me a somber look before replying.
"I can't answer that without telling you about the car first," he sighed.
I got the impression that he was carrying a great weight upon his shoulders, and he was about to unburden himself. The thought made me uncomfortable because my dad was never forthcoming about anything. I wasn't sure I wanted to hear what he had to say, especially after having such a great morning so far.
"What about the car?"
I asked. "Was it stolen? Involved in an accident that killed someone?" Those were the first two thoughts that ran through my mind when my dad told me he needed to talk to me about the car first. Why else would he say that if there wasn't some sort of stigma attached to it? Whatever it was, it apparently involved my grandfather, and if that's why he disappeared, it couldn't be good.
"This car has been in our family for a long time."
50 years,
I blurted out, knowing the car was given to him by my grandfather, who I figured bought the car the day it rolled off the assembly line.
"She's been in the family a lot longer than that," he replied.
I turned and looked at him, wondering how that was possible. As far as I knew, the car was a 1973 Ford Falcon. That would make it 50 years old.
"What do you mean?"
I asked him to clarify. The car blinker came on, and my dad waited for me to take the indicated turn before answering.
"She's not a Ford Falcon."
"What?"
I was shocked to hear him say that, especially since he's been telling me and everyone else who's asked that it was a Ford Falcon. My dad reached into his back pocket to retrieve his wallet, opened it, and pulled out a folded photograph. He unfolded the photo and showed it to me. It was a picture of my grandfather leaning up against the 1957 Chevy Corvette Supersport. I'd seen the photo before.
"That's the car Grandpa sold to buy this one, right?"
That's the story he had told me when I first asked about the car over a decade ago.
"He didn't sell it."
My dad shook his head.
"It's the same car."
His comment confused me.
"I'm not following."
"The car in this photo,"
he tapped his finger on the Corvette,
"is the same car you're driving right now."
I opened my mouth to tell him that I didn't understand how that was possible, but he cut me off with a raised hand.
"I know that doesn't make any sense, but it's the truth. This car isn't a..."
He paused as he tried to think of the right word to say.
"It isn't a real car. It's something else."
I didn't know how to respond to that, so I just stared at him.
"I had the same reaction when your grandfather told me about the car. I didn't believe him either. Not at first."
"What do you mean it's something else?"
"It's alive."
I could tell from the way he was looking at me that he seriously believed that.
"That's impossible."
I scoffed at the idea.
"I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. You'll see."
"Why are you telling me all of this now?"
"Because when you turn 18 tomorrow, the car will be yours. But first, you have to prove that you're fit to be her driver."
"Is that what this trip is about? To see how well I drive?"
"In a way," my dad confirmed. "I'll explain the rest when we get to your grandfather's house."
"Why can't you just explain it to me now?"
I didn't like how cryptic he was being. The car engine revved loudly, interrupting us.
"Because she doesn't want me to. Not yet."
I assumed that was the end of the conversation for now and turned my eyes to the passing scenery, trying to focus on something other than all the questions running through my mind. 5 more miles, my dad declared, pointing at the sign on the side of the road. It was the first thing he had said in almost an hour. I got a sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach and gripped the steering wheel a bit tighter. The prospect of seeing my grandfather for the first time in over 12 years was making me feel anxious.
What's he like?
Who? My dad was momentarily confused by the question.
Grandpa Max,
I clarified. Oh, him, he replied. He's old. I couldn't tell if it was meant as a joke or an insult. I considered asking him to elaborate, but decided against it. If he felt like reminiscing about my grandfather, he would have had more to say about him. 10 minutes later, and the car blinker came on. At first, I thought it was a mistake, but then I saw the entrance to a dirt road and figured that must be where I was supposed to go. I turned onto the road, drove a couple hundred feet, and then had to stop.
Now what?
I asked, gesturing at the locked gate that was blocking our path. Give me a second, my dad said as he started to get out of the car. Once outside, he came around to my side of the car and tapped on the glass. Come here. He motioned for me to get out. I want to show you something. I got out and walked to the back of the car where he was waiting for me. If you ever find yourself in a situation where you need a tool, all you have to do is open the trunk.
Do you need me to pop it open?
I asked while gesturing at it. No need. He reached out and wrapped his knuckle on the outside of the trunk. A moment later, it popped open on its own. When I looked inside, the trunk was completely empty except for a pair of bolt cutters lying in the center of the mat. My dad picked up the bolt cutters and then walked over to the gate and cut the lock off. When he was done, he pulled the gate open and then returned to the back of the car where I was waiting.
I take it Grandpa Max doesn't know we're coming.
Not exactly, my dad replied as he tossed the bolt cutters back into the trunk and shut it. Let's get going before he figures it out. I followed the dirt road until we came to another locked gate that was adorned with crucifixes of various shapes and sizes, from plain to garishly ornate.
What's with all the crosses?
I gestured at the gate. As I did so, I noticed that crosses had also been nailed to the trees on either side of the dirt road for as far as I could see.
Is Grandpa Max some kind of religious nut?
Hell no. My dad scoffed at the thought. This is just some lame attempt to keep us out. He flicked his hand at the gate.
Keep us out?
I was confused.
Why would he want to keep us out?
Because he thinks the car is evil, he replied as he got out of the car.
Is it evil?
Hold tight, he said, ignoring my question. I'll get the gate open. He shut the door and walked to the back of the car to retrieve the bolt cutters. I watched from the car as he cut the chain locking the gate and pushed it open before returning the bolt cutters to the trunk. All right, let's go. He motioned for me to start driving. I eased the car through the gate, headed straight for the house. Stop here, my dad instructed.
Now what?
I asked after we were parked. Now we wait, my dad said while keeping his eyes on the front door of the old house. We didn't have to wait long. A moment later, the front door of the house was thrown open, and an old man, who I assumed to be my Grandpa Max, came storming out with a shotgun in his hands. Grandpa Max cocked the shotgun and pointed it at my dad.
What are you doing here, Russ?
He called out. Stay in the car, my dad said to me before stepping outside. Once he was out of the car, he stood behind the open door, leaning on it while he talked to my grandfather. Grandpa Max kept the gun trained on my dad the entire time.
You know why I'm here,
my dad called back.
It's too soon. I've still got a year,
Grandpa Max said. I had no idea what they were talking about, but it was obvious that whatever it was had been set into motion a long time ago.
Actually, you don't. Josh's 18th birthday is tomorrow.
I didn't like that I was being dragged into whatever was going on between the two of them.
You son of a bitch,
Grandpa Max yelled.
You lied to me.
Then he fired the shotgun at my dad. Fearing for my life, I yelped and ducked down behind the wheel. My dad must have been expecting the violent reaction, because he jumped back into the car and shut the door right before Grandpa Max pulled the trigger.
He's shooting at us,
I gasped, thinking we were going to die. Don't worry. My dad didn't sound upset about being shot at. He can't hurt us in here. Outside, Grandpa Max continued his litany of insults directed at my dad, punctuating each one with a blast from his shotgun. Surprisingly, at least to me, the car seemed to be unharmed. I expected the windshield to burst apart at any moment, showering us with glass, but that never happened.
Why is he so mad?
I asked between shotgun blasts.
Because he thought you were turning 17 this year,
my dad replied without looking at me.
Why is he upset about that?
My dad ignored me, keeping his eyes on Grandpa Max.
Dad?
I tried to get his attention.
The gun's empty,
he suddenly declared, rushing out of the car. I sat there dumbfounded as I watched my dad run across the yard and tackle my grandfather. The two of them struggled for a few minutes until my dad was able to pin Grandpa Max to the ground.
Josh!
My dad yelled for me. I rolled down the window so I could hear him better.
Get the rope from the trunk!
What rope?
I hollered back. I hadn't seen any rope in the trunk when my dad opened it to get the bolt cutters.
It's there!
My dad grunted as he fought to keep my grandfather pinned to the ground.
Open the trunk! You'll see it! Don't do it, Josh!
Grandpa Max cried out. I got out and walked to the back of the car, finding the trunk already open. When I looked inside, I expected to see the bolt cutters and nothing else. But the bolt cutters were gone. Now the only thing in the trunk was a length of coiled rope.
You really are alive, aren't you?
As insane as that sounded, I was starting to believe all the crazy shit my dad had told me about the car. The car honked twice in reply, confirming the thought. I carried the rope over to my dad, then stood back and watched as he hogtied Grandpa Max. Before he finished, he pulled an old handkerchief out of my grandfather's coveralls and shoved it into his mouth to quiet him.
You know the rules, old man,
my dad said to Grandpa Max as he got to his feet and dusted himself off. I had no idea what that meant, but it was easy to see it wasn't a good thing.
What are you going to do with them?
I'm not going to do anything,
my dad said, walking over and handing me the end of the rope.
You are.
What?
I didn't want to be an active participant in whatever was going to happen. It was bad enough having to witness it.
This is the true test to see if you're worthy to drive the car, my dad declared. He had to do it,
he gestured at Grandpa Max.
I had to do it,
he gestured at himself.
And now, you have to do it,
he gestured at me.
Do what?
I had to force the question out. My dad held my gaze for a moment before answering.
You have to feed your grandfather to the car.
He pointed at the Ford Falcon, which was slowly driving itself across the yard towards us.
What?
That was insane. I wasn't going to feed Grandpa Max to the car.
I can't do that.
I dropped the rope and shook my head.
If you don't, my dad warned, it's you who will be fed to the car.
When he saw the look of shock on my face, he spread his arms and said,
I didn't make the rules, son. I just followed them.
I looked down at my grandfather struggling on the ground to free himself. When he saw me looking at him, he tried to speak, but I couldn't understand him because of the gag my dad had put in his mouth.
Don't feel sorry for him, my dad said. He did the same thing to his grandfather, and he also had no problem helping me feed my grandfather to the car.
Behind me, the car's engine revved as she lurched forward. When I looked back, her hood was open, allowing me to see the engine compartment. But there was no engine inside. Instead, there was a mass of gears, all grinding together like metal teeth.
Just pick them up and put them inside, my dad instructed. The car will do the rest.
When I didn't make a move to comply, he walked up to me and placed his hand on my shoulder.
One of you has to go, and I'd much rather it be him.
He nodded at Grandpa Max. I believed him, and since I didn't want to be the one ground to a pulp by the car, I picked up the rope and used it to drag Grandpa Max closer to the car. Once I had him in position, I pulled him to his feet and held him upright. He struggled the entire time, but given how old and frail he wasn't that hard to keep hold of.
I'm sorry, Grandpa,
I whispered. Then I pushed him into the engine compartment, where he was quickly pulled into the waiting gears, spraying me with blood and bits of flesh before the car hood slammed shut.
I knew you could do it!
My dad sounded proud.
I think I'm going to be sick.
I gagged as I tried to shake off the bloody pieces of my grandfather that were clinging to me.
Let's go inside and get you cleaned up.
My dad gestured at the house.
Feeling better?
My dad asked after I walked out of the bathroom, freshly showered and wearing some of my grandfather's clothes.
No, I'm not.
I said.
I don't ever want to do anything like that ever again.
Sorry, kiddo, my dad replied. But that was just the beginning.
What?
The car needs to eat. But don't worry. She won't make you kill anyone else you know. And you only have to feed her twice a year.
What if I can't?
You will. He insisted. I know because I felt the same way you're feeling right now.
How did you get over it?
I asked, feeling a tremendous amount of guilt weighing upon my shoulders. He motioned for me to follow him outside.
Come on, I'll show you.
He took me out to the car where he opened the passenger door and stepped aside.
Open the glove compartment, he pointed.
I did as he instructed, gasping when I saw the stack of bills inside.
If you provide for her, she'll provide for you.
He smiled.
And the rest, as they say, is history, I said to my son. Does that make you feel any better?
A little,
he replied. He was feeling down after having to throw his grandfather, my dad, into the engine compartment of the car. So I told him the story about how my dad and I fed my grandfather to the car.
Is that why you never told him about me? So he wouldn't know we were coming?
My son asked.
And is that why you stayed away from Mom and me for so long?
It is, I nodded. I knew that staying away from him and hiding his existence from my parents meant I'd miss watching him grow up, but I did it to ensure that he had a future.
One where I didn't have to feed him to the car.
I figured your grandfather would run if he knew his time was up, I explained. And I couldn't risk him finding a way to escape the car.
What are you going to do when it's your turn?
My son asked. I shrugged. I'm sure I'll run too, but I've got plenty of time to worry about that later.
And that was Highway to Hell by K.G. Lewis. A good reminder to be careful what you wish for. Some gifts have strings attached. In fact, you may be getting taken for a ride. Also a good reminder that your scriptwriter is really phoning it in these days. Two cliches in a single sentence, Jeff? Seriously? A little about the author. K.G. Lewis is the author of 6 books on BaylocksBooks.com, whose stories have been featured on many podcasts. He's also the designer of the tabletop miniatures game Giant Monster Rampage. He resides in Georgia with his family. Thanks, KG.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit SimplyScaryPodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I'm afraid this is where we part ways, at least till next week. So grab a drink for the road, friend. Again, visit CreepyPastaStories.com to vote on your favorite Drew Blood's Dark Tales Spooky Season 2025 Rotten Contest submission. And hit me up at patreon.com/DrewBlood too, if you're so inclined. So may the wind be at your back, and may the road rise up to meet you. I'll see you all next week, and until then, well, fuck yourselves. Good night, y'all.